Blog Talk Radio.
This is Lori Smith. This is One Child to Be Survivor to Another Restoration. I'm glad to be here. It is July 1st and 10 p.m. here in Calgary, Alberta, 2019. It's Canada Day, and that's like the U.S. has July 4th for their Independence Day. Canada has July the 1st, so it's Canada Day here, and there'll be all kinds of fireworks celebrations and stuff like that going on. And I'm just sitting at home and just glad to be doing this show. Hopefully you're all fine, and thanks for tuning into my show. I appreciate it for everybody who's taken the time to listen, and hopefully you're getting something out of it. We're looking at an article from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org, and it's looking at boundaries and boundary issues, how to set boundaries, why it's important, and all of that good stuff. So that's what we're still continuing on with, and so yeah, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. I don't have the chat up tonight, the chat window up. I have been lately putting it up, but I didn't put it up there tonight. So if you're a survivor of abuse, you want to make sure that you're safe enough to be listening, and you can get that information from lots of different places, but mainly I know of a couple. NASCA, N-A-A-S-C-A, National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, that's the organization that I volunteer with, and also the ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program. They have a Survivor to Thriver workbook, and the first chapter is the Safety First chapter. You can learn how to keep yourself safe if you're a survivor of abuse and you're not sure if listening to something like this might bother you and send you backward in your healing journey, and then you end up hurting yourself or hurting somebody else. That's no good. So you want to make sure that you are safe enough to be listening. If you're not, just turn the show off and get that information. Learn how to know whether you're safe enough or not. And then at that time you can make a decision. But until then, you want to make 100% sure that you are safe enough, and that if you're not sure, it's better to turn the show off. And if you're anybody else listening, and I'm talking about the topic of abuse, and it's a very sensitive topic, so you have to listen at your own discretion. You have to know what's good for you to listen to, and you ultimately have to make that decision for yourself, right? So if you think it might bother you, any of the topics, anything to do with abuse, then you need to turn the show off and don't listen to it, because you won't be hurting my feelings at all. And so we'll get into this. We're looking at boundaries. The next section up on this boundaries article is called Negotiation, and this is Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA. It's under their Information for Survivors tab and under Personal Boundaries, and then the section is Negotiation. And so that's where we left off last time, just starting this article. This is actually really good stuff here, and I sort of briefly looked at it here tonight, and this is so important, this particular section here, Negotiation. It's a gentleman writing this section. He wrote the whole thing, I'm not sure, but it's really, really good. So I'm just reading right from their website. They said, "We set a boundary to define our territory, to protect our space, physical, emotional, mental, sexual, spiritual, financial, etc. We set the boundary because it is what we need to do for ourselves to protect and take care of ourselves. And we set it knowing that the other person may not be able or willing to change their behavior. And that we are prepared to take whatever action we need to take if that proves to be the case. So the action may include cutting that person out of our life completely. And that's interesting because that's exactly what I had to do, which is unfortunate. I've had to do it a few times in my lifetime, especially after my healing journey, because I had started looking in on information for survivors and realized that, you know, a lot of the relationships that I was in with my biological family were very toxic just because we grew up abused and we didn't know how to deal with each other any other way. I was on a healing journey trying to get help and trying to be a better person and trying to be better to myself and trying to be get over, you know, what I had experienced as a child, and my siblings had not. They were not on any kind of healing journey and they didn't care. They were just like, whatever. They didn't want to change the way they were treating me, so I cut them out. I cut them out of my life completely. And it's a harsh loss. Like this person says, reading right from the website, I was scared of setting boundaries because the little boy in me was afraid of hurting other people, having other people be angry at me, being abandoned, losing the relationship. Ultimately, it came down to people will go away if I say no or set a boundary with them. So what he's saying there is very true. Because in relationships can go either way, you know. If we're doing something to somebody and it's bothering them, it's crossing the boundaries that they've set or that they, you know, that they should have set, and then they let us know. If we care about that person, or we care about the relationship, we're gonna do everything we can to make sure that we don't cross those boundaries or, to not hurt them, to not cause them to feel uncomfortable or whatever it is that we're doing, right? But if we don't care about that person, then we're just going to keep doing. Now, to me, that doesn't mean, I don't know how people can be like that. You know, like if somebody told me something, you know, that was bothering them and I just didn't care, what kind of a person am I? But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't care. That's just a fact, right? And they would say, well, you know, that's not true. But it is. Because if somebody's got a boundary set that, you know, in the relationship that they need and they feel that they really need, you know, to, whether it's a matter of, like they said, for instance, respect, you know, it's these boundaries to, you know, physical space around us, emotional boundaries, right? Mental boundaries, sexual boundaries, spiritual boundaries, and financial, et cetera. It just goes on and on. It's respecting that person to want to change and to watch our behaviors. If we know that we're doing something that's bothering somebody and they let us know, then we would want to make a change to so that we're not overstepping those boundaries, right? But not everybody thinks like that, unfortunately. And a lot of people who have, you know, boundary crossing type people who just don't care about other people are, you know, if they don't want to change, it just proves that they're kind of toxic, right? Who needs to be around it? So this person says here, I had to become willing to take that risk. I had to decide that I had enough worth to stand up for myself, even if people did go away. And some people did go away. Some people do still when I set a boundary. But I was also amazed to see that some of the people that I set a boundary with started to treat me with more respect, and they were able to hear me and valued me through enough to change their behavior. So that's what we want. You know, that's what everybody would hope for, is that people would value us enough, or that, you know, we would value somebody enough to change the behavior, right? But it doesn't always work that way, unfortunately. And so sometimes you know, I had to cut the remaining siblings off that I have, which is only two, but still, I mean, I had to cut them out of my life, and it hurt, you know. I was hoping to have a relationship with them. We had never had a good relationship growing up. And my older brother, I didn't even know him. He was already moved out of the house when I was born, actually. So I met him as an adult, you know, I met him a couple of times as a kid, and I knew he was my brother, but I didn't know him, you know, that well. I mean, I didn't know him at all, really. I just knew about him. And then I got to spend some time with him as an adult. And as an adult, you know, he didn't have room for me in his life. He was done with the whole family thing. It was, you know, our family was toxic and abusive and horrific situation. He was just done with it. And so he just wanted me out of his life. And I didn't like the way he was treating me, so I just kind of blew him off. But my sister, she and I were a lot closer because we grew up together, basically. She's 5 years older than me. And I had to cut her out of my life, which is unfortunate, but she's too toxic for me to be around. It doesn't work. It never did work between us. We could never really have a good relationship. There were just brief periods of time, little snippets of time, where we would have treat each other decently, and the rest of it was horrible. So there's no sense in hanging around with somebody that doesn't respect your boundaries, doesn't even think you should have boundaries, and they should just be allowed to treat you the way that they want to. You know, say horrible things to you or about you or whatever. That's basically what it came down to, because, you know, she couldn't physically beat me up anymore. So it kind of came down to words, you know. But she was always screaming at me, you know, like my mother would scream at me. She basically just replaced my mother. That's how my mother used to treat me, just beat on me and scream at me. And it's like, so my sister just stepped right in and followed suit. So it's, you know, as adults, she couldn't really beat on me, but she definitely was my mother in every other respect. Just demeaning, looking down on me, trying to negate my self-worth, you know, trying to make me look lower than her, I guess. I don't know why people do that, but it's kind of a shame. And then I would say nasty things to her, and then all of a sudden we're fighting and then screaming at each other, and then we don't speak for weeks, and it's too toxic. It's just like it doesn't work. But I finally set some boundaries, and she wouldn't go for them, so I cut her off, and I cut my dad off as well. My mentally ill, deranged, psychologically deranged dad. I had to cut him off too. He's passed away now, but it was the best thing that we could do, was to end our relationship. We never had one in the first place, and there was never going to be one, so I figured, well, I don't need to cause him distress by being around him. He stresses me out by being around me, so there's no point. It's unfortunate, you know, that this sort of stuff. I know as far as friendships go, I've had to do that with a few people, just sort of cut them out of my life because they were toxic and didn't care about my feelings or respect my feelings. And I thought, you know, I don't need to be around people like that. I really don't. I have some good friends who I care about very much, and they're just good to me. So I know that it's possible to have these good relationships. You know, like my husband, I had a great relationship with him. He passed away last August, so almost a year now. So 11 months ago. But he was, we had a great relationship. And, you know, it was like, you know, there was no perfectionism. That's living in a dream world. We worked our problems out, and we cared about each other enough to make these changes that we needed to make, you know, in order to accommodate the other person. So, you know, if I felt like he was out of line, he would make the changes to because he cared about me. And if he felt that I was out of line, I would make those changes and stick to them so that I didn't hurt his feelings or whatever, you know, whatever the issue was, right? So you have to be willing to do those sorts of things if you want to stay in a relationship and have a healthy relationship. But it is possible, it's doable. I've had lots of good friends in my lifetime, and I still do, who treat me with respect and common decency, and I do the same for them, and we get along great. So I'm not sure why certain people can't get along with certain people, but it's true. There are people out there that are just derogatory. They have possibly borderline personality disorder. I don't know. That's what my dad had. And I've met lots of people that sort of look like, you know, I don't know. I can't diagnose them. I'm not a psychologist, but, or, you know, psychiatrist, but not a clinician of any sort. But the thing is that their behavior was modeling some of the stuff that I've seen with people with BDP, borderline personality disorder, as well as schizophrenia. And, you know, people like that, if they don't get help, they're hard to get along with because they have issues they need to work through, right? So it's kind of a shame that people won't get help and learn how to, you know, be better to themselves, better to the people around them, right? But not everybody wants to get help, so it's a shame. But like he said, you know, he had to start cutting some people out of his life, but he said there were people that he could see that stayed in his life that, even with boundaries set, that started to treat him with respect and able to hear him and value him enough to change their behavior. So that's just awesome, and it's very possible. It's doable for sure. How many minutes do we have? About 15 minutes. Let's see. This is quite a lengthy article. We'll pick up with some more of it. It says, by becoming willing to take the risk of setting boundaries, I got the wonderful gift of getting what I wanted some of the time. I had to let go of the outcome and learn to accept the situation, however it unfolded. I had to let go of a lot of people that I considered friends. I came to the realization that the people I had been calling friends were not really friends at all. Because as long as I did not know how to be a friend to myself, I could not truly recognize friendship in others. As long as I was unconsciously reacting out of my old programming, the people I was attracted to were people who would abuse me, shame me, abandon, and betray me. That's kind of interesting. You know, there's got to be some truth to that. Because a lot of the friendships that I've had in my lifetime, I'm usually the person that ends up getting wounded instead of being the one to wound, because I don't like hurting people. So I think it's wrong to hurt people. That's just me. Not everybody feels that way, obviously, right? That's why we have abusers. That's why we have people that abuse people and hurt people. They just think it's okay. But I think it's incredibly wrong to hurt people in any situation. And so I end up getting hurt quite often. And it's kind of like when I started to learn how to set boundaries and learn to value myself and to sort of, you know, make it clear, you know, what my expectations were in the relationship, I'm not out to hurt anybody, you know. But I'm also not going to allow people to abuse me. But it does mean a lot of times letting go of people or moving on in different situations, right? And a person has to be willing to do that, which means you could be alone, you know. And that's, you know, and you could not have very many friends around you if it comes down to it. It depends on the type of friends that you have. I'd rather have one good friend than a whole bunch of people hanging around me that are just taking advantage of me or, you know, like he said, abusing him or shaming him, right? Abandoning, betraying. I mean, who wants that? Like, I mean, as children being abused, basically we've all experienced some of that or most of it or all of it. And so, you know, why would we want to continue that on in our adult lives? That's kind of where the rubber met the road, you know, for my own situation, because when I started my healing journey, my sister knew that I was doing this, and especially when I started writing the book, A Life of Death and Redemption, as I started as a blog first, and then somebody told me I should publish it, so I was like, well, okay. And so my family knew that I was writing these books, and they weren't happy about it because it was spilling the beans, even though I didn't name them by name so much and wasn't really, trying to shame them. It was to tell the truth of what happened in our family, but they didn't like that. And so they weren't nice to me before I started writing my books, but then they were really not nice to me after I started writing my books. And I thought, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. We have no relationship anyway. It's not like if I didn't write the books, they would have treated me well. They've never treated me well, so what does it matter? It was better that I cut the relationship with them. And of course it makes me sad because I miss my brother. He's getting older now. I mean, he's like 16 years older than me, so that puts him near 70. And, you know, he's getting up there. He's getting to be an old man. And like my sister, she's 5 years older than me, so she's not that old, but she's heading towards 60. And it's like, I mean, this is sad, you know. Our life was just so screwed up. I'm talking about my siblings and myself, you know, living in this abusive hellhole that I call it. And then to be so fractured and not able to have any relationship together as adults, it's very, very sad. I miss my sister very much, and I mean, I wish that we could get along. It's unfortunate, and part of it is me too. I can't just blame her for everything. I mean, it's the two of us together. It's toxic. You know, we never learned how to be good to each other, and we could only hold it together for a short period of time before it's, you know, my personality rubs her wrong, and then her personality rubs me wrong, and then before you know it, we're fighting, right? Arguing and screaming at each other. So that's just no good. And I decided, since I'm on my healing journey, I don't need that, you know. So that's kind of where I was at. And it's sad. It's unfortunate, right? Because I probably will never see them again in my life. And that's the way it is. But I knew at the time when I cut them off that I had really thought about it before I did, because, you know, this is a serious situation. I thought, well, can I live with that? Is this something that I can be okay with? You know, and I thought, yeah, because there was never any real healthy relationship, period, with any of my family members. So it's not like I was really losing anything. All I was gaining was self-worth, you know, and the fact that I was worth it, and I am worth it, and I'm worth respect, and I'm worthy of decent, dignified treatment by all people. That includes family members, friends, bosses, coworkers. You know, why do we allow ourselves to be walked on? It's not right. Nobody should be allowing anybody to do that, but we do, right? And there's many reasons for it. A lot of times it's like, well, if I say something, you know, I'll be fired. Or if I say something, then she won't be my friend. Or, you know, if I say something and I stand up for myself, then my sibling will be mad at me, or whatever the issues are, you know, and probably so, because they won't like being called out that they're doing something wrong, right? And it's, they won't realize it, and then when you call them on it, then they won't appreciate it. I know for myself, with my sister especially, you know, she had told me some stuff that I was doing that was bothering her, and I apologized for it. I was like, you know, I'm sorry. You know, it's just, I apologize. That was out of line or whatever. I was more than willing to apologize and change my behavior with my sister. And when it came for her to apologize to me, I called her out on something that she was doing to me, and she wouldn't do it. No, she's perfect, right? But she's got OCD, and she's got, oh, who knows what else she's got. Good Lord. I mean, I don't know. But I know for sure she's OCD. And she's perfect. Yeah, she's absolutely perfect, right? Well, no. Got news for you, honey. You're not perfect. There's none perfect. We all can have the possibility of hurting somebody, and we all have the possibility to say the wrong things, do the wrong things. We all need to be held accountable. We all need to be accountable. We should hold ourselves accountable, first of all. And then, you know, if somebody calls us out on it and says, look, you know, this is something you're doing that's bothering me, then we should change it. Just like we're asking somebody else to do that for us, why would I not do that for somebody else? So this is where I am in my life. You know, I treat people with dignity, with respect, and, you know, common courtesy, and that's all I'm asking for back. And if I don't get it, boy, I tell you, I either, you know, I just bugger off, or I tell them to get out of my life, because I will not tolerate any more abuse. I'm just not doing it. At this stage in my life, at this age in my life, it's like, no, you know, like, no, I've had enough of that. When I was a young child, I couldn't do anything about being abused. It was just the way it was. And, you know, I didn't want to be removed from my home because, you know, all adults were abusers to me when I was growing up. I thought all adults were abusers because most of the adults that I had met when I was little growing up actually were abusive. So I just figured they were all abusers. And I figured, well, at least I know what I have coming in my home. Like, at least I know what to expect. I didn't want to deal with somebody else's abuse. I thought, no, I just have to manage through this abuse. And I loved my mother. I wanted to protect her, even though, you know, she was my main abuser. But the thing is as an adult, I don't have to take that. But I need to then treat people the way that I want to be treated. So I need to treat people with respect and dignity and common courtesy and, you know, be good to people and expect that in return. And if I don't get it, boy, I tell you, I am quick to respond. It doesn't take very long for me to figure out when somebody's, you know, doesn't have the same attitude towards me. It's kind of like, no, you know, life is too short. I don't care. You know, you're not getting away with it with me. You might be able to pull it on some other poor person, but it's not going to happen with me. So I don't care. That's bosses. That's anybody. I just absolutely do not tolerate abuse anymore. And so, you know, what that does is it empowers me. Because, yeah, okay, so maybe I'm out of a job. Oh, maybe I lose some friends or whatever, and I'm sitting by myself. And, you know, it can be quite lonely sitting by yourself. I know I've been doing it because my husband's passed away. And, you know, I'd rather be by myself than with a bunch of hurtful people, you know, that are just going to tear me down or mistreat me in some way, right? And it's better than just allowing people to hurt us, because that just wounds the core even that much more. It just tears your heart up. To me, it's just you know, there has to be a line. We have to know who we are. And I definitely know who I am and what I'll tolerate and what I will allow, what I won't allow in my life. And I would say, like, you know, was I this way at the age of 42? Absolutely. I mean, there's only so much person really can tolerate. And I knew at that time, especially at that time when I started my healing journey, that I was going to start standing up for myself. And sometimes standing up for yourself, I mean, what can you do? Does that mean, like, having everybody around you arrested for trying to mistreat you? No. You know, it's standing up for yourself. It's having enough respect in yourself to walk away from a really bad relationship, whether it's, you know, a partner or, you know, husband, wife, whatever it is, abusive relationships, controlling, abusive, harmful, toxic relationships, you know, whether it's a friendship, you know, a close friendship, it's not worth it, you know. And it's a shame that people do things like this, but they do. I was in a 12-year friendship with a good friend who I thought that was friendship was going to last forever. 12 years. And we were close. This was in my 40s, like mid-30s to mid-40s. And this person just dumped me out of their life. But that's because I basically told them what I thought about them, because they were hurting me. They were going behind my back and saying things about me and then laughing and making jokes about it with some of the staff. And I was like, this was a friend that I was working with. And I was like, you know, I don't have to take that. I really don't. right to her face. You know, I'm like, you know, that's garbage, right? I mean, where is that coming from? Well, at the time, well, you know, she just wanted to blow me off. And then later, I find out a couple weeks later that she wanted to just blow me off, wanted me out of her life. And I'm like, well, what kind of friend does that? Because I didn't do anything to her. I could see if I had done something to her, you know, like something terrible to her, but I didn't. So some people, even after 12 years, will dump on you, right, and make you just feel horrible, even after 12 years of a great relationship. This can happen, and it's a shocker. It's like, what, you know? Why people do these things, I don't know. I really don't. I think it's because they're not sure of themselves, and that's unfortunate. So now I don't really hang out with people that aren't sure of themselves, that don't know themselves. I know myself really, really well, and I know who I am. So that's what I'm saying. Like, I know who I am, so I know what I'm going to tolerate. I don't even allow people in my life unless they know who they are, basically, anymore. I'm kind of like, I scope them out, you know what I mean? It's like, I check them out. If they don't know who they are and they're not solid and secure and in knowing who they are and how they're going to behave and how they're going to treat you, I don't need to be around that. You know, people that are wishy-washy and, you know, one day they love you, the next day they just want you out of their life. What is that? You know what I mean? It's like, no, life is too short, man. So we have to care about ourselves enough to, no matter what the situation, get ourselves into a better place, right? Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, you know. But I think it's just waking up and realizing that, yeah, we're not doormats and we're not put on the earth here to be mistreated and abused. That's ridiculous. And as, like, my mother kind of thought that, because, you know, she was abused as a child and then got into this marriage with my dad and it was abusive. And so she was just abused her whole life. And she really felt like that's where she was supposed to be. That was her life, you know. And she would say stuff like that, right? And then we all sort of picked that up from her, you know, that this is our life to be dumped on, you know. This is my life to be treated bad and, you know, treated horribly by people. That's just not okay. It's not okay at all. You know, I'm a good person. I care about people. And, you know, so I expect that to come back to me, you know. And if I don't get it, I move on, you know. It's like, I'm like, you know, life's way too short. That's my motto. So, yeah, we got about a minute left. Wow, this show just goes so fast. So if you want to pick up the rest of that article, go to Havoca, Havoca, and pick that up. There's quite a bit more to it there. So we'll pick that up next week, same time, Monday night, 10 p.m. And I just wish you all the best. You know, if you're struggling and you're having a hard time, you don't know what you're going to do, like I always say on all my shows, you have to get some help, you know, no matter what it is. Just reach out to somebody. If you can't get through the night or the next hour, you call a crisis line. You know, you call somebody. But you make a phone call and you get some help. Right, because there are people out there that do care, and you are worth it, and you do matter. Don't ever let anybody ever, ever convince you that. Just a couple weeks ago, a friend of mine committed suicide, and I'm heartbroken. And down in the States, and I'm just heartbroken. And it's like, if he would have just called somebody, just call somebody. I wanted to sit on a crisis line. I'm the type of person that would be sitting there, right, that cares, right? You do matter. You do count. So you make sure that you reach out and get some help. And don't quit until you do get some help, right? And so have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.